Shoot. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of The Salty Show. I'm your co-host, Timmy Two Time in the house. What's up, everybody?
Hello, hello, hello. This is Heidi.
Hey, everybody. This is Jeremy, and welcome to our world.
Oh, shoot, Soli Soul. I've been cued all weekend, so hopefully you got something good for us, man. What's good over there in Pittsburgh?
Definitely, definitely, man. The Great Awakening. We're going to talk about that. But first, on this episode of The Salty Show, random acts of kindness for social media clout. So, again, now that I'm in the TikTok world, I'm seeing more and more people doing good deeds to get followers. We're going to talk about the that whole dynamic. Also, what is white culture? Is there such a thing? Well, a certain museum wants to make you aware of signs of whiteness, what to look out for. And also, we're going to talk about the latest in the BLM movement and more evidence that there is a great awakening happening in America, and it's only growing exponentially in these past few weeks. All right, so we'll talk about all that and more on this episode of The Salty Show.
TheSaltyShow.com.
I like how you're using the, by the way, because, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, you know, we got to get the right URL out there, right? Yeah.
Right. Heidi. What's up, lady? How are you? You feeling better this week?
It's feeling fine last week. I am astonished, you guys. I found this article about restaurants closing. Like,
you didn't know about
1,000 Quiznos, 500, over 500 McDonald's, like,
The name brands,
big, huge corporations, TGI Fridays, Carl's Jr., Burger King, Olive Gardens, like big names and big numbers. Not, like I said, 1,000 branches, 500 and something branches on McDonald's, over 500 of them. I'm just like, we're in trouble. Where are these people going to work?
Well, guess who that's affecting? I mean, who are these people employing? These are people they're employing, you know, either kids, young kids, or people who live below, you know what I'm saying? Low income people, right? Those are the people that are being affected by this whole COVID, you know, we're going to save you from your health. Okay, great. You saved me from my health. How am I supposed to eat now? Fuck out of here.
All right.
Well, I think it's even more than just that. Like, you're supporting this movement that's doing this to you, and it's your own damn party line.
Exactly.
No, it's Donald Trump's fault. He's the reason why there's 50 million people unemployed. He's the reason why the economy's crap. When you look at all these dummies on social media talking shit about Trump, like, oh, see, 50 million, he destroyed the economy. You being I'm not going to use the word, but you being scared of looking at the sun and going outside is the reason why you chose your health over this. So don't blame Trump. Sorry. You wanted to be stuck in the house.
Have you seen that meme? And I don't know who the characters are, but is this meme? There's this guy. He's looking backwards and he's shooting this guy on a chair and he turns around. And he's like,
no.
Why would somebody do this? Now, here, this is what the whole thing. I'll show you this meme just so you know.
Okay, please, because I am lost.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on.
This guy is shooting behind him, standing on it.
Hold on. Let me show you this meme. Okay, so it's this meme right here. All right, just so you know what I'm talking about, right? So let me bring up actually a good one. So this particular one is my GPA procrastinating. And then why would my professor do this? Right, you're procrastinating. Now this is the whole COVID and the economy's blowing up thing, right? Because people are saying shut the economy down or people are going to die, right? Okay, let's shut the economy down. Why are people jobless?
Dying?
you asked for this. This is your idea. This is your way to save humanity from a virus, and now you're blaming this on Trump? The fuck?
Yeah, I'd like to step back on that. So whose idea was it to shut everything down?
Fauci, Birx, the NIH, the CDC, the governors, the crybabies and in all these states.
Well, so the CDC and
they recommended
made it.
Right. They gave recommendations. There wasn't guidelines. It wasn't mandated. So Trump never mandated.
Okay. And so the CDC makes this recommendation, and you're saying that, well, everybody shut down, right? I mean, every state shut down, state. Regardless of their red, white, or blue.
And the ones that weren't shutting down, the news media came hard on them, and like Arizona, like Florida, and said, you're going to kill all these people. And so states were forced to shut down. And
they're bullied and like into Heidi, shutting down.
Like Heidi just mentioned, look at all these companies that are closing down, all those people that are affected right now, that are going to be jobless.
What they want.
Yeah, exactly.
It's what they want. Yeah. That's how socialism. How do you get people to vote for communism and socialism? If you take money out of their pocket and they're hungry and you go, well, if you vote for Joe Biden, we're going to make sure that everybody has health insurance and they're going to have a check free coming everything. In every day. People are going to go, fuck, man, I got no job. Right. This is what I got to vote for.
Right.
So, exactly. I mean, it's a... If you can't see what they're doing, you're an idiot.
Right.
If you think that, oh, no, the Democrats really care about people's health. No. Because all their mandates, you know, when a lot of their mandates end, November 5th.
Yeah.
That tells you everything.
How convenient. All right. What else you got, Heidi?
So it kind of feeds into how are people going to pay their bills? So Trump kind of came out and said, hey, I'm looking at starting, I guess they're starting this week to go through the second stimulus package and rescue. And Trump is saying that he wants to send more money out.
It's not good.
To the people and into the communities. And so they're trying to figure it out. They're starting the battle on that. And he wants to do away with the unemployment stimulus that's supposed to end on July 31st. And he's saying, instead of doing an unemployment, we need to do a go back to work and we'll give you a bonus.
No.
A tax cut.
Stop paying them to not work so that they have to go work. There should be no, hey, here's a check to go get a job. No.
So they're not out there riding.
Stop getting the check.
Right. They're not out there riding because right now they're out without a job, twiddling their thumbs. They got nothing better to do. They got a government check. And guess what? Oh, well, I got nothing to do. Let's go riot. Let's go create mayhem.
Yeah.
Just stop paying them. Yeah. Stop paying people to do nothing. That's
some states
the dumbest
are
idea.
So the package was supposed to be done on July 31st for the unemployment stuff. And there are some states that are stepping up and saying, yeah, we're going to stop these benefits as of July 25th and 26th and or 26th. But it was federal money, $600 more a week. And Trump is saying, so we just paid more people. We paid people more than they would ever make anyways weekly to not be working. They're not working. We need to get them back to work and stop this unemployment.
Just open up the economy. Check. Just open it up.
Yeah. So
it's too late. It's too late. Because you know why? Even if you turn around right now and you opened everything up, everybody's back. You know how many businesses already folded?
Yeah.
Like just gone. True. Like they're gone.
Well, I
like,
just listed
so
all of
many
those.
Businesses gone.
Yeah.
But like small businesses that...
Yeah, the small businesses are the ones I'm worried about. These big businesses, the McDonald's, the Quiznos, I'm willing to bet that the ones that did shut down were the ones that were on the edge to begin with when this whole thing started. Because, you know, it's just a really good excuse to clean up your books, all right?
Right.
No one's going to judge you for closing 500 of your restaurants now because of everything that's going on. Whereas if you'd done it and the economy's ripping and roaring... They're going to be like, well, would you just fire all these people? Now you got to pay unemployment and all that other stuff.
And you just mentioned the great blueprint that now hospitals are using. And we've all known this. I said this from the beginning. Okay. There is a collusion between all these groups. And we look at certain professions and assign altruistic motives to them. Some of those are doctors, right? We say, oh, well, that's a selfless role. No, there are people, there are all types of people in all types of positions. And when the government says, we're going to give you this much more money for somebody who has COVID, you better believe that there are corrupt people there or hospital administrations who are going to look at them like, cha-ching, COVID, cha-ching, COVID. And so this is a bad system to have. And that's why you saw that all those numbers going up and nobody asking questions like, how can Florida be at 100%? The fuck out of here. It's all like, anyways.
And then you find that's a lie.
It's a lie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Anyways, what else you got?
Of course it is.
Yeah. All right. So I'd like to bring this one up. I was in Walgreens. I think I was Walgreens or somewhere a couple weeks back and paying for some things I was purchasing up at the register. And there was a big sign posted, and I've seen this now in three or four different places. Please give us exact change. We don't have coins.
Yeah.
So what the hell is going on, America? We have a coin shortage.
Do we?
And why? Banks are now paying you to bring in your coins, and they will pay you interest too. And so one of the articles I was reading just happens to be out of Milwaukee, and they said that they think that people, you know how all year, and we do this at home. I will stick change in a big bucket, change or dollar bills here and there or whatever. And I put them in the bucket because I'm thinking, well, we'll go on vacation and the kids can have this money to spend it and use this money. So that's what they're finding, is that nobody went on vacation this year.
Oh.
And these big old barrels of coins in people's homes are sitting there. In the meantime, it's not out recirculating.
Well, what
banks are actually asking people to bring in their
they
coins.
Need to do, so at the grocery stores, they have those Coinstar machines, right? You come in with a bucket full of coins, you just drop it in there. And
but they take a...
They take a percentage of it, unless... Like if you're at, like, let's say Safeway or Fry's grocery store, right? If you decide to put that money on a Fry's gift card, you get the whole percentage. But if you just want cash, physical cash back, they take a percentage of it.
Interesting.
At least some of them. It may not be all of them, but some of them do it that way. So what they need to do is drop the percentage that they take. Well, okay, or maybe put those machines in.
This particular bank said, I'm going to go spend money and buy coins from the Fed and have their upcharges on it. So I'll save a little bit of money and I'll reach out to my community instead, save a little of the money I'm going to give to the Fed, and I'll give it to back into my neighborhood and into the community. So, like, the one person, they took $218 into the bank, all in change, and the bank gave them back $228. So they made $10 on their $218 in coins.
That's a good idea. What they should do is say, if you put it into your savings account or whatever and save it for next year's vacation, we'll pay you interest on that too. You know, just kind of market it so that the bank makes out in the end, right?
You know what's interesting is this whole, like, because... Right now, it's still fairly new, right? The whole shutting the economy down, I think it's unprecedented. I don't think we've ever shut the economy down like how we have, to the extent that we have. And, you know, this is like the butterfly effect, right? This is having ripple effects across time. Right now, this is the first few months we're seeing this ripple effect of shortage of coins. What else is this going to cause? You know, in 5, 6, 7 months, a year from now, that we're like, oh man, that's due because of this, because of that. So again, open it all back up. It's time.
Right.
Well, paper money, I think you're going to start seeing too. Cause even there were a few places I went into that said they wouldn't even take money.
Yeah.
No cash. You need to use a card, plastic.
Well,
that was it.
Well,
no
because
cash.
They don't have coins to actually give you back.
Well,
change.
But
so
still,
by giving you cash.
Yeah.
But this brings up a good point, right? This is, by shutting the economy down, is allowing people to say, this is why capitalism doesn't work.
Because
if you were trying to push your agenda of socialism and communism, which when people say they're not, they are. They actually are coming out and saying, we want to get rid of the system and put this system in. Okay, so people need to shut the fuck up and say they're not trying to do that. They are.
That's a horrible argument.
Okay, so... If you're saying capitalism is bad, you shut the economy down for me. See, this is the problem with capitalism. The wealth isn't distributed across, and poor people suffer, and rich people are still in their houses saying, wear your mask, and we're all in this together, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean?
It's giving them
a platform.
It's those rich people who are the ones who are saying, everybody stay home. Yeah, it's convenient for you. You know what I mean? Like this. Okay.
Anyways. Right. Right.
Well, yeah. You got anything else, Heidi? Because I want to get to these.
No, I thought that was a good one to just kind of end out and feed into what you were going to move on to.
I want to talk about this because, again, I'm in TikTok.
Wait, Saul, take a couple breaths. You're a little flustered. We can see it on you here.
I want to show you this video. And it's this whole, the concept of acts of kindness. And I want your guys' opinion because I saw a discussion, or actually like a little debate, comment debate. You know how, the keyboard warriors, your inner keyboard warrior. God. Okay. So I saw this person, post this TikTok of an act of kindness. And then in the comments, people were saying, well, you know what? You only did this because you knew you were going to get likes and you were going to get followers. So let me show you the video and then we can discuss it. So basically it's this substitute teacher who's sitting alone and these students decide to sit with him. So I'll play it for you guys.
But if the world was ending, you'd come over, right? You'd come over and you'd stay the night. Would you love me for the hell of it?
Okay, it's a very short video, right? So substitute teacher sitting alone in the lunchroom. And he obviously he looks like it's an awkward, you know, sitting by yourself and all that.
Yeah.
His group of girls, they see him and they go sit down with him and basically keep him company. And he looks happy. So then, unfortunately, I can't open up the comments here. But the comments basically said again, the people were like, you know, these girls, because this video has 3.3 million likes. And ridiculous amount of views, right? So, you know, and then people start commenting, and then it just became this whole, you know, this is not a random act of kindness. This is just for clout and just to get following. Now, my question to you guys is, does it matter?
I was just going to say that. Who cares? Who gives a shit?
who cares if they did it just to get...
So exactly. My question is, does it matter? Do we place more emphasis on intentions versus actions? What matters? And so I showed this video to a couple people, all right? Two females, okay? And the first one said, because in general, females place emphasis on intentions. And let me give you a backstory on a relationship that I was in. I think I've told you guys this before, but this is a true story. So birthday's coming around for this girl that I'm dating. This is a few years ago. And, actually it was Valentine's Day, And, you know, it's, you know what I'm saying? You got to go and you got to get the card and you got to get the chocolate. You got to get the flowers. You got to do all that. Right. So, but I waited to the last minute type of thing.
You're so fucking lucky.
Now here I am at this grocery store. I'm looking for flowers. I'm looking for the right card, whatever, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, when I walked in, I saw this guy and this guy, he's at the card section and he's just looking at this whole thing and he's going like this. And I can see he's struggling to find the right card, right? And so, you know, I go and I continue shopping, whatever, blah, 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 because I was going to make dinner and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So then I finish shopping and I come back around and I see him still standing there and he's just debating. And I go in, you know, looking for a card. I find one and he turns to me and he says this. And this is what, like, for me, I understood the type of relationship he was in based on what he's like. He looks at me. He's like, no matter what card I get, man, it's going to be the wrong one. That's what he says. And as a man, I could relate to where he was at. And, you know what I mean? So he's like, no matter what. And so here's the thing. I believe if the woman had known. Okay. Oh, so I went back and, you know, I did the whole thing, the whole Valentine's thing, made dinner, whatever. She was happy. And I asked her a question and said, let me ask you this question. If I hadn't planned this until the last minute, does that change anything? And she says, yeah, if you had forgotten, yeah, that changes everything. And I'm like, really? Like, it doesn't matter the results. It was the intention. And so I think this whole thing with this video and the debates that were happening online is very similar to that, where some people place more emphasis on intention than the actual results. And
that doesn't mean you're a good person. That doesn't mean you're... Just because you go sit with a sub and you film it, like, you're getting validation through social media because you want validation. Do you really give a shit about being nice to that person?
But if it made them do a decent act, again, I don't really care. Because
it's pity.
Because
it's like a pity fuck.
But stop.
Seriously.
Let's leave it in the context here. That's a pity fuck. No, but hold on. So, Tim, you place more emphasis on intentions than you do results.
If your actions aren't pure and you're just doing it for a like, that doesn't make you a good person.
What does it matter?
Because you're fake.
Yeah, but who's to say that that's what the case was?
Fake. Like, sit with somebody.
Back up though.
Yeah, go ahead.
But back
just
up though.
Just to get fucking social media likes.
Yeah, but hold on, Tim. How do you know that? I didn't see anything there that insinuated that they were doing something fake and trying to
let's
get-
let's for the sake of argument and to Tim's point, let's say we could see their intentions, and their intentions were for likes. Okay, let's give him the benefit of the doubt. And so let's argue it from that standpoint, that they did this.
Well, that guy doesn't know a damn thing about any of that. All he knows is he was having a shitty day and a bunch of ladies came over and sat with him.
Maybe he wasn't having a shitty day. And, many times I like sitting alone. Still,
so it doesn't matter. It
Get off my lawn.
Let me ask you this. So if I'm walking into a store, let's say the Walmart greeter, and the Walmart greeter is having a shitty day, right? And in his heart, he does not give a shit about how my day is going, but he fakes it. And he says, hey, welcome to Walmart. You know, have a nice day. Okay.
That's your job.
Okay. But don't we all have responsibilities as being decent human beings to each other? So for me, I don't care what's in your heart. I care how you act, how you behave towards me, how you treat me. And so, yeah, I think if we all have visibility in everybody's intentions, we'd be like, oh, this fucking world is fucked. Because if people is true intentions, if we acted based on how we felt and not on what would be the right thing to do. See, I don't, and that's what the problem that I had with some of these arguments there, because they came from a point of like, oh, well, you're fake or you're this. And I'm like, who cares? They did a good thing. If more people did good things, regardless of how they felt, I think the world would be a better place.
I don't know, because that's looking for me. Like, if you're doing that as a true act of kindness, that's great. But like, if you're really doing it for followers, like, you're really not, like, I can't say you're a good person.
But was that a good deed?
Your intention was to fake a good deed. But okay. How many things have we seen where all these people do great deeds and they're fucking doing child pedophilia? You know what I mean? Oh, okay. They're a great person. Okay. They donate to causes, but okay.
The way I look at it is it's a scale, right? Does your good outweigh the bad? Bank accounts. Again, it goes all back to that. For me, your good actions should outweigh because let's put it the other way around. If you have somebody who has all these great into a pure heart, beautiful soul and everything, but acts on how they feel that day, I think the world would see them as a fucking shitty person. Because they're acting based on how they woke up that day. Oh, I didn't get a good sleep. Therefore, I'm not going to treat anybody good because guess what? I'm not having a good day. Nobody else is having a good day.
Okay, look at it like this.
And I think that person is being genuine.
Okay, she's doing a random act of kindness right here for that sub. But the night before, she fucked her best friend's boyfriend. What's worse? You know, is she really a good person doing something out of kindness? She's still a piece of shit. She's trying to offset her negatives with a positive.
For me, I look at it that
way. To me, you're at a zero.
Okay, well, at least she's not at a negative. So zero
is close to a negative.
Well, no.
Zero is nothing.
Look, man.
Zero is as close to a negative without being negative. That's true. Exactly. He's got a point there.
So, but my point is
not
that,
a dollar.
Okay, but my point is that,
oh my God.
But my point is that that kindness made her get out of the negative, right? Regardless of what her intentions were. I'm all about actions. I think if people behaved not how they felt, but what is the right thing to do. Now, if you have different motivations, let me put it this way. And I've given this example before.
I've given this example before.
Okay. Let's give you a scenario, and it's this. You're got sick and you need a doctor to perform whatever type of surgery to save your life. And you have the choice between two doctors. One of them is a really good doctor, got into it because he loves people and he wants to help everybody. But his success rate is 80%. The second doctor is a big dick. He's in it because he wants to be the best. He's not nice to you. He's going to tell you the truth and he's just going to give you the facts. And he's not going to be nice to you. He's not going to tell you nothing nice. He just wants to be the best at what he does. What doctor do you want to perform on you?
100%.
Thank you. And to me, this is how I look at things. How do you perform? What are your actions? What are the results of what you do? Not how do you feel?
All right, I'm going to flip it on you.
Go ahead.
Because if you talk about random acts of kindness and, you know, you your actions, because, you know, being generous to other people, wear a mask then, because that means you're being generous to that. You're doing an act of kindness to your fellow person mm-hmm. by making them feel safe and not in their mind, not feeling that they're going to get sick.
Actually, my
I'm just going to throw that. We can all know. I don't believe in masks. I think it's bullshit.
But can I answer? So my random act of kindness is I'm going to give them my herd immunity. You're welcome. I am protecting you.
I love it.
This is my random act of kindness to you. You're welcome.
Yes.
I'm being dead serious. Hold on.
So what Saul's saying is instead of wearing your mask, you need to run up to people and lick their face.
Yeah, exactly.
That's our you know what they consider that now? A random act of terrorism.
There you go. Terrorism.
You know, burning statues and cities down, that's peaceful protesting, but licking somebody's face is an act of terrorism now.
Here's what I'm curious about this substitute teacher. Do you think he cared?
I think he wanted to be left the fuck alone. And they just intruded. I really do. You know, like when, because think about it. You're a teacher dealing with shithead teenagers all day long. Okay. You get 5 minutes of like decompression. So, you know, like when you're sitting, I've done this, but you know, when you sit after you eat and you just close your eyes and you're just reflecting and then they just come over thinking you're sad and you know, you're not going to be a dick. Right. Mm-hmm. So now you're talking to them. Oh, maybe you made his day, but I really do think that guy wanted to be truly left alone.
Let's put it this way then. Here is,
because you could have eaten the teacher's lounge.
Here's one. Okay, let's put it this way. Let's say that what you said about him is actually true, and he just wanted to be left the fuck alone, and now he's got these kids sitting out of him bugging him because they want to be on social media, and then these girls, they don't care less about this guy, but they just want the following. Now, when you look at this video, it looks like they bonded because, I forgot to mention, there's other videos that came after this where, you know, they introduce him, who he is, whatever. And so, you know what I'm saying? Like they, to me, your actions will change how you feel. What is that phrase? Fake it till you make it.
Misery loves company.
Yeah. Fake it till you make it.
You know what I'm saying? Like sometimes you have to do the actions and then the feelings come later. Do it.
So what about things like movies? They call them feel good movie of the year or whatever, right? They promote it as being it makes people happy. Clearly, the people that make those movies, they're not experienced. No, they're faking. Like you said, they're faking it. They're pretending to do these things that make all of America feel good about themselves when they watch those movies.
Mm-hmm.
So do you get blown up on TikTok because your movie made a lot of money and it's all fake?
Yeah. I got a better idea. I got a better idea.
Yeah.
I really have a better idea.
Right.
And I say this all the time. Just don't be a shithead. You know what I mean? Like you can, if put it this way, fuck the videoing. If everybody was just actually nice to each other, like, hi, Jeremy, how's it going? Like when you see somebody on the street, when you wave to him, hello, you don't got to have a full blown conversation. But like, it's a respecting of people. Like you see somebody walking, like every time I walk my dog, I don't know my neighbors. I always wave, whether they're in a car or not. I always give a little nod or a wave. Just, it's
really?
An acknowledgement.
You're nice?
It's an acknowledgement of respect.
A wave. There's a difference.
No. But even when I see people walking and I pass it, how's it going?
Tim, so you're saying sometimes you wake up with a shitty mood, but you fake being nice.
Well, it's a respecting hello. I don't go up to people. You know what I mean? Because my day shouldn't affect them. You know what I mean? Yeah,
exactly.
Like my day, like if I wake up in a shitty mood, like if I wake up and present that shittiness like I do to everybody around me, you know, my negative dark cloud, you know, I do that to my friends. But to, like the people that don't know me, they don't need to know what's going on in my life.
His friends will take the brunt of it. Fuck these guys. They can
That's
put
what
up
friends
it.
Are for.
And now you want to know why nobody showed up last night.
Oh,
no.
Ouch.
Oh, no.
Too soon.
Sorry. No.
Everybody flaked on the COVID.
All right.
We'll
move on from the subject.
That was the reason. COVID.
All right. Let's talk about what is in the news today. White culture. Did you guys see this? This is, oh, my God. This pissed me off so much. But.
Oh, it's from the museum with the signs and like I sent that to you guys. Oh yeah, that's right. I sent that to you guys.
What?
So
in our MAGA chat.
So the National Museum of African American History and Culture Jesus, say that in one breath, wants to make us aware of white culture. So they release this document that basically gives you the characteristics of white culture. And I'm going to go through a few of these and we'll discuss some of them. Now, before I read anything, I wonder if they have done one of these for black culture. Do you know, Tim, if they did any?
No.
Would it be racist? Funny thing is that everything that is listed on here, by the way, before we go to it, is a key to success. Like, when you read this, it's like...
No, I know. I read this thing, and I'm like, wait a minute. Like, this is the blueprint to success.
Yeah.
But, like, the Marxists, they want to go away from that. You know? Like...
I'm going to go through some of these, all right? And the sections here on the first page is... I'll go through the sections, and then we'll talk on the bullet points. Rugged individualism, family structure, emphasis on scientific method, the Protestant work ethic, right? So let's talk about that first one. Rugged individualism. This is, again, they attribute this to white culture. Now, I don't understand why this cannot. It's so fucking weird to me.
This is human culture. Everybody's been told, you work hard, so you get rewarded.
Rugged individualism. The individual is the primary unit, self-reliance. How is that a white thing?
What is wrong with that? Oh my God.
No, not that, they're not saying
I know,
it's wrong.
I know
they're
a lot of Hispanics that go through that follow the same method.
Hold on, time out. Because they're not saying it's wrong. What they're saying is that this is an aspect of white culture. And my question is how? What? Where? Yeah. What are they using? Okay, let me just go to the next bullet point on rugged individualism. Independence and autonomy is highly valued and rewarded. Again, I don't understand where they came up with how this is an aspect of white culture. Let's go to the family structure. The nuclear family, father, mother, 2.3 children, is the ideal social unit. Husband is the breadwinner and head of the household. Wife is a homemaker and subordinate to the husband. Children should have own rooms and be independent. Now, pause. Because I'm not white. And
whoa,
this
whoa, whoa, whoa,
is
wait, you're
what?
Not white?
You look white on the camera.
Shut the fuck up. I had to look twice. It's the light. It's the light. It's the light on me.
It's the light.
I did a double take. No. Okay. And I know for a fact that this is an aspect of Hispanic culture, and not just Hispanic culture. I'm talking about my Indian side, the Native American. You know what I'm saying? From the Americas side, this is not an aspect of white culture alone. This is, I don't know where they came up with this. When I read this, done from the African American History and Culture Museum, I look at this and I say, this is racist. That you're saying, you know what I mean? Like, but nobody says anything, because if we reverse it, let's say there was a museum for the Caucasian American History and Culture, and they came out with aspects of black culture. You don't think that people would be up in arms and saying this is racist? Why does the Caucasian American History and Culture Museum feel that they can speak to this? This is fucking weird.
So when you want to talk about the reverse effect, right? Look at Beetlejuice in Chicago. You saw her comment about the press sec. Yes. When she's like, you better watch your mouth, Karen. When she talked about Chicago in her press briefing. Lori Longfoot, or whatever her name is, Beetlejuice, she literally threatened the fucking press sec on Twitter. Like, you better watch your mouth, Karen. Really?
Or what are you going to do?
Okay. No, because somebody actually rebutted, you know, and they said, so you basically what you're asking for, Mayor, you want them to start using the other terms, I think it was a black chick. She was like, So do you want them to start calling you Bonquique and all this? I'm like, oh shit.
No.
I'm like, oh my God.
Look, here's the
Beetlejuice. But think about it. But if somebody came out and said that, if somebody would have called her Bonquiqui, Bonquisha, or whatever they use in that statement. Oh my God, the uproar. Why we even, why in 2020 we went completely backwards in from a George Floyd thing that happened with some shitty cops turned into, all right, you know, reform the police now to deform the police to systematic racism and America is shit and we gotta, you know, burn it all down.
Now this is African American History and Culture Museum is it at an open war with whites. This is fucking weird. And I'm gonna keep reading.
It is so. To kind of step back to the question you asked is where they're getting this. Is this basically a description or a listing of the differences between the black culture other cultures that they're classifying as white?
Let me read this. White dominant culture or whiteness refers to the ways white people and their traditions, attitudes, and ways of life have been normalized over time and are now considered standard practices in the United States. And since white people still hold most of the institutional power in America, we have all internalized some aspects of white culture, including people of color. Now, this is a flat out lie. And I'm going to tell you how, why. Again, because I'm not white. I come from a Hispanic culture, mixed, Spaniard and Indian. And I can tell you that this is not unique only to white people. It's not. These things that they mentioned is not. But let me read this as if it was written by white people about blacks. And then you're going to see how fucking racist this sounds. Black dominant culture or blackness refers to the ways black people in their traditions, attitudes, and ways of life have been normalized over time and are now considered standard practice in black America. And since black people still hold most of the institutional power in black America, we have all internal. See what I'm saying? Like this, if somebody read this and it was written by whites, people would be like, bro, you don't have a leg to stand on to be talking about this, first of all. And so I don't understand. Like, again, it's open war against whites right now from these organizations. And we got to stand up against this. And I'm going to show you some videos of now some black Americans who are standing up against this. And it's glorious to watch. But let me keep reading, because, again, this is astounding that nobody's calling out this shit. One of the next sections is Protestant work ethics. And I think this was actually mentioned by what was that guy, Alexander Tocqueville, who from France, who came and toured the United States in the 1800s. And he came and looked at the United States and found why is America, you know, quickly becoming very prosperous and changing. And this is one of the things that he talked about is the Protestant work ethic. And so what are the bullet points? Hard work is key to success. This is unique to America, right? And I've heard this from people from Europe. I had a European friend who came to the United States, and she told me one of the things that she told me, and going back to the previous conversation we were having, she says, you know what I noticed here is that waitresses and waiters, when they come up to you, it's not their full time, it's not their job, it's not their career. This is a stepping stone for them. And so they're nice. Like, I've never experienced that. And then my family even went to France and they ordered and they say, oh my God, those waiters and waitresses, they're very rude. Because this is their career. Yeah. They make careers out of waitressing. And so they don't care. They don't care. And then, you know, obviously it's all unionized and it's all, you know, once you're employed by the government, you know what I mean? It's like there is no way you're going to be kicked out, basically, unless you do something atrocious. But so this is very unique to America. It's that hard work ethic is the key to success. Work before play. If you didn't meet your goals, you didn't work hard enough. And again, this was mentioned by, I forgot what the name of that book is, but I believe it was, his name is Alexander Tocqueville. I might be forgetting his first name. Anyway, a French guy came to the United States and basically did an analysis on why the keys to America's success, quick, rapid success. Anyway, so again, all I want to mention about this is that it annoys me because they've attributed this to whiteness. And honestly, like I said earlier, this is the keys to success. This is in
logical.
Life. Yes. If you apply this, it's not whiteness. It's human. It is the nature of being human.
Yeah, I saw this and I'm looking at this going, I've never in my life really thought about color, man. You know what I mean? And it's like, it's every day. And I'm just, every time I open my phone, turn on the TV, and I'm just like, the fuck? Like, I actually saw a really good story on Instagram through, Fox City Mitch. And it was showing in the 90s, like, she's like, the U.S., like, she's like, systematic racism was beaten. And she's like, in the 90s, it was like over because they were like,
in 90s.
Yeah. So they were like, in the 90s, Wesley Snipes was running, you know, he was headlining a major Blade in 99, right? Major Marvel movie. We did, you know, that was normal.
Bro,
you know,
Eddie
Denzel
Murphy.
Washington in Philadelphia.
Eddie Remember Eddie Murphy? Murphy?
Yeah. So, yeah.
Like,
so
he was huge.
There were so many prominent athletes. Like, everything was normalized. Like, you didn't think, like, oh, the first, I can't, why is this one, you know, in a movie? Like, nobody thought about that. You know what I mean? Like, oh, great. You know, oh, Will Smith's in a movie. Great. Independence Day. Fantastic. But it was going to be like, oh, wow, they actually casted, you know, an African or a black person, well, African American, whatever you want to, whatever the right term is. These days. Nobody thought about that. You know what I mean? You know, with rap music coming out, everyone's like, all right, cool. Like, everybody was coming together. And I've had numerous conversations with one of my really good friends about this as we were DJing and everything. And we were talking about the culture of what, like, how things were. And, you know, he was 10 years older than me, so he got to actually grow up as an adult in the 90s. And but I was a teenager, but like a lot of the things we were saying was very similar, right? Like everything was so integrated, you know, like you went to school, like, you know, you had, you know, I had a crew of, you know, Hispanics, blacks, whites, all hanging out together, right? Some were wearing baggy jeans, you know, like my white, you know, some of the white friends were wearing baggy jeans, and then some were in the goth clothes. You know, and then everybody in the grunge clothes. But then we were with the hip hop, you know, like everybody was all hanging out in the same group together. You don't get any more diverse than that. Nobody was looking like, oh, you white piece of trash or you're the black, you know, nobody, everybody was together and integrated. And we always said right after 9/11, everything, 9/11 was the peak. And then right at 9/11 is just when, because the Patriot Act came in, the scare tactics, the fear, like you started seeing a big transition in economics and social, you know, and then because then when they say when Obama got here, it was like, this is where the divide came, right? I don't know about that, you know, whatever. But, you know, but that's what people claim. But like when but like the 90s was the pinnacle. And I think people were afraid of that and they needed to change the status quo because they were like, oh, we can't run on the same things no more.
I think
people are too much together.
I think it goes back to even all these different groups that want to be acknowledged, that are looking, and like I've said before, this is, it's gone from acceptance. It's gone from tolerance to acceptance to celebration. And if you no longer celebrate it, then you're considered racist, right? Before, people just asked for tolerance. Okay, acceptance. But now, if you don't celebrate black culture, then you're a racist. But let's reverse this. Let's reverse this for every other culture. Mexicans celebrate white culture. If you don't celebrate it, you're racist. You see how weird that sounds? Black people celebrate white culture. If you don't celebrate white culture, then you are racist. You see what I'm saying? This does not make sense. But it's gone from being logical to being emotional. It's now emotional. It's everything is now how I feel. How do I feel that you don't celebrate my culture? Wow, you're racist. Get the fuck out of here. And I'm sick of it. And we need to call it out because it if we don't, it'll be the end of our freedoms. It'll be the end because the censorship police is coming. They're coming, man. Now, I'm going to move on to the next bullet point that I want to talk about this whole thing. Right now, the media, it plays a big role in keeping this racial divide. They are in running on all cylinders right now to try to fan the flames of this racism and the divide that we're seeing right now. So, And all this to create the narrative that the police, that law enforcement, that racism has been institutionalized. Now, Trump goes to, I think it's CBS, and he goes an interview. He goes to an interview, and I'm gonna play this. Before I play this, I'm gonna prepare it. It is CBS. He goes to an interview with CBS, and the reporter asks him a question about why are there still black people being killed by cops? And Trump's response to this, the guy, man, is on top. He is on top of this, and this was a great response. Perfect. Let me play it for you.
She didn't know what to say.
No.
Let's talk about George Floyd. You said George Floyd's death was a terrible thing.
Terrible.
Why are African Americans still dying at the hands of law enforcement in this country?
And so are white people. So are white people. What a terrible question to ask. Mm-hmm. So are white people. More white people, by the way. More white people.
She doesn't know what to say. Go ahead.
So my thing is, that really is a bad question because, look, you're asking a guy, why is only one group, but you're making him now say, well, these citizens are more important than, no, we're all the same. We got to make sure that it doesn't happen, right? And it's supposed to get better, right? But unfortunately, criminals, although, how do you put this? The ones that you usually see that get killed by cops on any side, they're committing a crime. Whether the crime, death should not be the punishment by that cop. They're not the juror, judge, and whatever. But shit happens, right? And that's how they're trained. The George Floyd thing, disgusting. Guy leaned on his neck and all that is bullshit. You know what I mean? You know, but these things, you have a 1 second window as a cop, you know, in a shooting, right? You know, the guy that got shot in the back in Atlanta. Did he need to get shot in the back? People say the cops did it right. People say that he murdered him. But people forget that the guy was running with a taser, shooting the taser at the cop. You know what I mean? So the cop's defending himself, right? So everything is situational. So the deaths thing, it's a bad question because obviously you don't want your cops killing people. Does it happen? Yes. But does it happen more than not? No. It happens less. You know, there's more people that survive interactions with cops than don't. If you only have, say, 300 deaths from cops in a year, and you have 320 million people, and out of those 320 million people, if a million interact with cops, I mean, what do you want me to do? You know what I mean? Yeah. Other things that cops need to, you know, not judge about? Oh, 100%. You know, when cops are in shitty neighborhoods or, you know, rough neighborhoods and they say certain things. No, you know, you got to treat the people. You can't look at color as a cop based on your neighborhood or when you stop somebody. You know, you got to not have all that in your head. You got to treat everybody with respect. But there's that thing. They're trying to go too far, man. I know I butchered it, but come on, guys. Like,
no, look.
You can say that about anything. Like I can walk through Maryville, and if I get jumped in Maryville, why say no, I was in a fucking bad neighborhood where I shouldn't have been. You know what I'm saying?
Full of Hispanics, and you wouldn't have a good time there. Look, here's the going back because they're selling a narrative. Okay, the media is selling a narrative, and the narrative is that cops are killing black people. This is the narrative, and this is the question. How she asked this. And Trump's like, well, if we want to look at the real facts, more white people are being killed by cops. So then technically we could say, why are cops after white people? This is what we can technically say, because if we look at the percentage of crime being committed, it's not being committed by white people, but they're being disproportionately killed based on their interactions with cops. So right now the media, again, they're firing on all cylinders. They have become insufferable. It just annoys fucking watching them. I'm serious. Like this woman, you know, and again, I don't know if this was her question. And if it is, that's a disgrace to her as for her profession. She's not a journalist. The truth is these people, these journalists, they live in their own echo chambers where they basically, they're just regurgitating every nonsense, all the nonsense that, you know, without being challenged. They sit in their rooms and they're like, oh, yeah, yeah, we, okay, I'm going to ask him. Yeah, you go ask him, girl. they're in for a rude awakening, bro. But when Trump wins, these fools are going to be like, wait, what? Our polls weren't showing that. You know what I'm saying?
Because they didn't show them the first time around.
Exactly. And now, again, I'm going to show you something else here that is going, it annoys me again, because the news media, this is what they propagate. Okay, so if you guys didn't know, Trump has a niece. I don't know from which one of his.
Oh yeah, did you see that thing?
Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna play a little bit.
Oh my god,
it's a train wreck. However, she's on the Rachel. She's on the Rachel Maddow show, and
she looks like a SJW.
and this woman again is Donald Trump's niece, and she's basically just, you know, dragging his name all over it because she claims that Trump used racial slurs. Now I'm going to let you watch this because I had to suffer through it and you might as well.
Yeah, I watched this. Number one, just look at her face. Number one, okay. You could tell that like nobody ever hits on this girl. Okay.
Oh, dear Lord. Okay.
She just looks like a social justice warrior. Like she looks like she's on drugs, by the way.
Oh,
when you look at her eyes. Go hit play. And then this fucking thing. Fucking Rachel Maddow.
A little bit. If just to ask if the president, if your uncle was an exception to that in your family, or if you ever heard him express either use anti-Semitic slurs or the N-word or other racist slurs or other sentiments like that, do you mean this was an ambient thing in your family, but you can't say that you ever heard it from him, or did you hear it from him too?
Oh yeah, of course I did. And I don't think that should surprise anybody given how virulently racist he is today.
So like when you look at it, she's looking everywhere else in her answers.
Hold on, let her finish because she's going to ask her another question.
Sorry.
Have you heard the president use the N-word?
Yeah.
And anti-Semitic slurs specifically?
Yes.
Okay. What were you going to say, Tim?
I mean, like, where's the file? Oh, you've heard him say that. Oh, what was the kind? When did you hear him? It's just like a yes or no. Yeah. And her eyes are looking everywhere else. Just look at her face. She's like,
yeah.
Like she's being told to like lie. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. What I like about it is Rachel.
It didn't even hold anything.
Rachel Maddow's expressions are as if she's just uncovered something, you know, now that, similar to the previous news reporter who was asking Trump's question, these people, they're a disgrace to journalism. And I'm sure that if we were to find some of Rachel Maddow's or this woman's family members who would be willing to disparage them on live TV, drag their name through the mud, They would be like, you know what I'm saying? So this proves nothing. But the sheep who just watch these fucking shows, oh, they eat it up. Oh,
because they think it's reality.
See?
And,
what?
Yeah. And when they go, when Don Jr., Eric Trump, Don Sr., Ivanka, and they all come out and they go, this girl has never even met him. Or like, she's not even been around the family in like 20, 25 years. People go, oh, they're lying. Like outsiders know more about family. You say, you know how many people in my family that I'm never around?
Same.
You know how many cousins I have that I've not. It's just because, you know, it's not that we don't like each other, but it's just like, I live in Arizona, they live in New Jersey, and I haven't seen them in forever. You know what I mean?
I have a huge family that lives in Phoenix, and there are several of them that...
Really?
I just, my mother is one of 9 kids.
Jesus. Yeah, and they're all here.
And they pretty much all with, you know, most of them, the 90% of them live in Arizona, right? So you've got my mom, you know, she's got sisters and brothers. They have kids. Their kids have kids. And even some of those kids are having kids now. There's generations of these people out there. I even if I wanted to visit them, you know, one every day, it would take more than a year to do it.
It's just there's so many of them out there that you just you know, I don't know Mary Trump, but I don't know how much she interacts with Donald Trump or has interacted with Donald Trump, but you know, you just all you have to do is listen to her say, "Oh yeah, just look at the way how racist he is now." And you're all just like, "Wait, what?"
You know how this proves that whatever she's saying has no validity to it, because you know that MSNBC would have ran pictures of her with Trump. They don't have those. They don't have those. So they're not running them, or else they would have been showing, you know, him hugging her or him around her or whatever. She doesn't have those pictures. She hasn't been around. She's a fucking liar. Get the fuck out of here. Bullshit.
Yeah, it's just like, it's really easy for me to go on TV and say, well, Nelson said he hates white people. Really? Have you ever heard him say the word cracker?
Just a few of them.
Yeah, I've heard him say that. And I could just, oh, so sad. Yeah. Like,
shocked.
Are you kidding me? Like, okay, like I was looking like this. If you're going to accuse somebody of something, how about put me on there too so you could say, oh, you've heard me say that? When was the last time you've seen me? And when they go, nope, sorry, you're dismissed. Exactly. You know what I mean? Like, well, I saw you yesterday, dude. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like,
here's the deal.
Like, this is like,
this is how you know that they don't have anything on Trump. They're desperate.
Exactly.
Desperate. They don't have anything.
This guy.
They would have been rolling tapes of Trump saying anti-Semitic slurs. They would have shown tapes of him saying racist words. They don't have them. So they're just grasping right
we
now.
We need to do an anti-Trump book. We'd make a fortune right now.
We've been doing this show for a while.
Yep.
Donald Trump has been in the limelight. Donald Trump isn't some politician that has been just in Congress, like doing nothing. Donald Trump has been in the forefront of media since his emergence. Okay.
Years, yep.
Even I sent them a clip from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air in 1992. First season, you know, they're talking about, you know, the sister Hillary, she's like wants to be rich and like, oh, we can go to Trump Tower. And I was like, wow. They even referenced Trump in, you know, these shows in the like, but I laughed because they associated like Trump with, you know, positivity and rich, you know what I mean? And it wasn't in a negative way. It was in a positive way. But anyway, if the amount of people Trump's been around, women, minorities, white people, you would think people would have all this evidence of shit that he's said. Nobody's come out and said, oh, yeah, you know, he said this, this, and this. They had a video, they had a tape recording of him saying, grab him by the pussy. He didn't say, I go grab everybody by the pussy. He's like, you know, these girls, they come up to you and they basically will let you grab him by, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
And they took it and it's like, oh, he's raping everybody. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, oh, he's got all these sexual harassment, you know, DNA. Look, anybody can claim anything. It's funny how everybody now is claiming sexual harassment, but Tara Reid is still, everybody believes everybody else except for Tara Reid, by the way. Just throwing that one out there.
Thank you.
Yeah. Just throwing that one out there. Believe Tara
all
Reid
women. Believe still, all women.
Believe except all women Tara except for Tara Reid, because the Washington Redskins, I'm going on a tangent, but the Washington Redskins, just after they changed their names, 15 women came out and did a whole thing of sexual harassment against the owner and some of the coaches and players.
Against the mascot?
Against the owner, right? So, but everyone's like, oh my God, see? This is why the Washington, these rich people. Tara Reid had even proof in the 90s where mom called in about this shit. And they go, she's lying. But everybody else is real. Right. But Tara Reid is lying.
Right.
That's how you know.
Bullshit.
It only works when they want it to work.
Right.
This has still not even been looked at.
Nope. Now,
nobody talks about Tara Reid no more.
Back here, because again, this woman was asked if Trump's ever made any racial slurs and Mary Trump, whoever this bitch is. But a sign of hope is people, black people in particular, are done with the whole BLM and Pantifa. And
Pantifa.
It's time to get to work, you bums. Now, Bevelin, is it Beatty? I'm going to go with Beatty. It's either Bevelin, Beatty, or Beatty. She confronts the Marxist BLM in front of Trump Tower in New York City, chanting Refund the Police and Jesus Matters. Basically, they called this whole thing what they did. I'm going to show you the videos. These are glorious. They called it the whole thing. It was Operation Paint Drop. And what they basically did is they dumped black paint on the BLM signs that they put in New York City on the text. And let me show you, because there's a few videos. These are awesome. I like how the police act like they're trying to hold her back, but they're just letting her destroy the sign.
They're like, well, no,
I
man.
Mean, they got, they know they got it. You know,
yeah.
They did arrest her.
They put her in jail, I think, for a day. And but here's another video.
No, not even for about 2 hours. She went to Brooklyn the same night.
And she goes back at another one again. Operation Paint Drop.
This was in Brooklyn, I think.
We were talking about this last night, and basically, if they were to get, let's just say, 100 people,
mm-hmm.
you know, red, white, black, whatever, it doesn't matter. You just get 100 people and everybody grabs a can of paint and a roller.
Oh, yeah.
They flash mob it. They show up. Everybody dumps their paint. It. Everybody rolls their little 10 cubic feet or square feet of Black Lives Matter mural.
Boom.
And it's done. It's over. It's done.
Thank you.
First of all, the cops can't stop them all. Second of all, the cops are going to be like outnumbered. They're going to be like, well, whatever. We tried.
We didn't put the sign.
What can we do?
It was a shit.
Yeah. And it's so done. It's over.
I'm going to play this other one.
Please, somebody do that.
So again, it's another Black Lives Matter. And they're just dumping black paint while they're driving. They're saying, and there's people around them basically just yelling like, what's wrong with you guys?
Okay. Yeah, you don't want to. They're driving on the mural.
Oh yeah, they're driving. Yeah, because this one's in Brooklyn, so it's not.
Yeah,
like,
they can't just stop.
Like,
nah,
it is
you don't
want to
stop there and you get your ass beat.
That's real fucking smart. Matter of fact, I got something for you.
Yeah, you can see right there. They're like, he's got something for us to leave. Now I'm gonna show you this one, this other one here, and this is, I think, the next day after they got released. They went back at it, dude. They
No, I think that's the same night, dude.
Oh, it's the same night. No,
same
let me
video.
You. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, same night, same video.
So there's other videos, though, because they went out the next day and basically did the same thing on more signs. But there's a video that they released on TikTok and this is their message to America, Jeremy. And I think they're basically making a call to all essentially conservatives out there that it's time to stand up. You know, and I'm going to let their words.
There is no excuse not to get up and stand and be willing to go to jail for your country. This is what Trump wants. This man can't stand alone. He needs the American people to be behind him. Y'all got to stop playing games and just thinking, oh, if I sit at home and just take a vote, it's going to work out. It don't work like that. You got to stand, you guys. You got to rise up. You got to rise up while you got the chance, while you still have your freedoms, mm-hmm. while you still have them. Mm-hmm. You have to rise up.
We're pleading with you. We are pleading with you. We are pleading with you. If nothing else, we want to give glory to God Almighty.
So people forget, like, those were the same girls that were out there when the riots started happening.
Oh, yeah.
And they were like, you need Jesus. And she was talking, that white girl was screaming at her.
Yeah.
And she's just like, you need Jesus. And she was going off and she's like, you're up. And she's like, I'm not oppressed. So I didn't know if she was in Philly or if in New York, you know what I mean? When she did that one, but yeah, they've been very vocal the entire time,
which is, it's a good sign to watch. And I think what needs to happen is, you know, I like your idea, Jeremy, but I think the message would be more poignant and would have a bigger impact if it's minorities who do this. Because yeah, because sure. If white people do it, they're just gonna say, oh, it's racist. But if minority conservatives, and when I mean minority, I'm talking about, you know, either Hispanic, Black, any other race, go out there and take the streets and just destroy these signs and say, we're done with this. A sign that the tides are turning is something that I saw in from the Portland police officers who are basically fed up with all the Antifa bullshit. And they're starting to clear out the streets. And let me show you this video. And for the audience, again, they're basically just going in bulldozing these people off the streets. And I'm just going to play a little bit of this video.
The stormtroopers, don't forget about the stormtroopers.
Yeah, Portland's getting bad, dude.
I think America's done. I think and you know what? When I watch this video, I can't help but wonder if this has anything to do with what Trump did with Minnesota, who asked for help. Because Minnesota asked for, what was it, $500 million after they let their city go to shit? And Donald Trump says, we're not sending you anything. You guys fucking had a hands-off approach and you'd let your city fucking burn. And I think Portland is coming to the realization that the federal government is not going to come and rescue you guys from your city being destroyed. So you better take action. No. Yeah. And I think this is a direct result.
Have you been watching what the mayor's been saying?
What did he say?
Which mayor?
The mayor of Portland? Really? Oh, no. He wants the feds out, like, because they have Homeland Security in there and DHS, like, helping cleaning up the streets because they're going after federal courthouses and shit. And they've been fucking them up. And they're like, you're invading on our democracy. This is a sham. And Pelosi and all them are going, oh, Trump sending out his stormtroopers like the Nazis, taking over peaceful protesters. Oh, yeah. They like, so Congress now is looking to do a government watchdog committee. And they're ACLU is suing the federal government for sending federal police officers and cleaning up Portland and shit like that. Oh, yeah. This is getting nasty.
Federal police Democrats. Who are the Fed? There's no federal police office. Who are the federal police officers?
But DHS and everything, they're saying they're not supposed to be policing on American soil making arrests. Because that video that went viral, and she's like, I don't see your badge. I don't know who you are. Where are you taking them? Use your words. And they're like the patches are right there that they're DHS and Border Patrol. Like, they're protecting federal buildings. So when you're spray painting federal buildings, that is a federal crime.
Right.
So federal police will take care of
them. They're in their jurisdiction to protect federal buildings. Yes.
They are trying to get DHS and all them out. And if I'm the police in Portland, the mayor's like, stand down, don't let them do that. Bullshit. This is why these fuckers are still out there destroying the city. Okay. Fuck this shit. If you want this shit, go fuck yourself. If you're a fucking Democrat that goes, this is good, fuck you. Fuck you, okay? Go live in that city. And if you support all this, I hope they come to your fucking house next and fucking burn that shit down. Because you know what? You are voting for this because you got fucking TDS and you think this is peaceful. No. They are trying to change your system. And guess what? You're not exempt. You know who are going to go first? The ones that voted for them. Because the ones that are opposing have weapons. They're going to speak up. We're going to go last. The ones that kneeled, they're going first. Sorry. Because you're weak. You owned it.
Exactly.
They got you by the balls. These are the same kids. I saw one in my neighborhood. I wanted to fuck that kid up.
Here's more video of the
fucking bullshit. Portland
Antifa police. I'm pretty sure
take
this
a grenade
is...
and throw right in the fucking middle and blow them all up. Stop. Seriously, I'm getting tired of this.
But again, the Portland police did a good job of dissipating these crowds. They got them out of there, man. They went after them.
Honestly, I'd walk to the mayor's fucking mansion and walk his ass out. If I'm the cops, I'd be like, you know what? You're done. You ain't been voted out. I'm voting you out. As the police, you are not my commanding officer anymore because you're letting them throw shit at me and fuck me up. I got a wife and kids, man. I don't need this bullshit.
Well, they all need to retire or leave or not show up for a day.
Was the mayor going to stop my paycheck? Bullshit.
Fuck just that. Call out sick. You know, the whole police force, call out sick one day and see what happens.
Exactly.
See what happens.
Protesting is okay. Destruction and burning shit down and setting fires and throwing statues down and throwing shit at cops and everything. Cops will let you protest all day long. But when you start throwing shit at them, that's when you're getting a pepper ball and a fucking pepper spray and a baton up your fucking ass and in your face. You're not supposed to do that. You want to yell at a cop's face, a cop will stand there and let you yell at him all day long. The minute you poke that motherfucker, you put your hands on a cop. You cannot do that. So I'm sorry. Just because you think that you're fighting, that you're immune to shit. No, you put your hands on a cop, you're going to get fucked up. I don't care who you are. You do not put your hands on a cop. It says right there. You do not put your hands on the fucking police. That is a rule. That is a law. The minute you can spit in there, you can whatever, they will take it. But the minute you put your hands on them and you throw something at them, it's fair fucking game.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And you're done.
I like it.
Exactly. All right. So one thing that, again, I think the more people, and I think a lot of people are tired, as you were, Tim. People are watching. People aren't blind. They see the news. They see what's going on.
I think they are blind.
And I think, let me just get my point across. Because, again, a lot of people are now home. They have a lot of more free time, more social media. That's been me, right? Because, you know, spending time now watching a lot of what's happening. And this next segment is the Great Awakening that's happening. And I think this is a direct result where Democrats thought, oh, you know, we're going to use this as a way to have people dependent on government. Da, da, da. Oh, guess what? People are now researching shit. People are now have more time to look up stuff. And I'm seeing tons of videos like this. And this is just one example. And I wanted to share this with you guys because, again, I'm not making this stuff up to you guys. When I start watching these videos, this is what I see all day. And this girl is Latina. Her name is Elisa Velasquez. And listen to what she says.
So a few days ago, I watched The Fall of Cabal. I literally threw up. It has me questioning if I should get rid of this. I don't think I have fully unpacked it yet. However, I did know that the Vatican was extremely evil. Like, really evil.
So again, this is just one example because I just grabbed this today, but I'm seeing tons of these videos of people saying, hey, look, I just saw this video. Hey, I started researching this. Hey, I started noticing that this. I started noticing that. And this to me, although with like me and Jeremy, you know, I'm very skeptical on a lot of stuff that they came out. But however, those first four or five episodes to me are very solid. And there's something there. And I think if people just watch those first few episodes, it makes you think. And you're like, okay, well, there is a organized effort to keep people blind to the truth. And if they're willing to do this, what else are they willing to do to try to get away with? And again, just one example of tons of videos that I keep seeing of people, you know, where we go one, we go all, trust the plan, Q, all this that I'm seeing. And this has been fairly new. Now, again, I haven't been in the social media as much as I, in the past, as much as I am today. But, you know, I've never heard of this. And, you know, Tim, you're in our conversations and you're seeing what a lot of Latinos, because we're, you know, come from, you know, we live in different parts of the country and everybody's kind of saying the same thing. Hey, guys, there's something creepy going on and we need to be awake. Now, I want to show you something that a news report that came out that kind of made me go, what? And I don't even know. It was a local news organization that reported this on the blood transfusion that happens with young people's blood that apparently has some scientific validity that it reverses aging. So let me play this for you guys.
Health Watch, could the secret to eternal youth be found in blood transfusions from young people? Health reporter Stephanie Stahl has more on a controversial new treatment that's being tested.
Transfusions with young blood from teenagers, some claim it can reverse the aging process. It's being tested in patients over the age of 35 as part of a clinical trial called Ambrosia, where people paid $8,000 to get the rich growth factors found in blood plasma platelets.
It's pretty much people from most states, people from overseas, from Europe and Australia.
Results of the trial
Anyways, so it just goes on to talk about how blood transfusion from young people appears to reverse some aging. Now, my question is,
do you know that they go into the high schools and they take blood from teenagers? Parents sign releases, and if you're 18 or older and you're in a high school, they're going into the high schools. Like Connor, right? We know kids that have donated blood through the high school. They come right to the high school.
Here's my question.
Buses.
Here's my question. This is what's coming out, right? This is a news report that they're willing to reveal. Do we really think that millionaires and billionaires, you know, all these people who want to stay young forever and have endless pockets, that they're not going to invest in the study of, is there anything further than this, or how further does it go? And so,
it's throughout history. Ponce de Leon spent his life looking for the fountain of youth.
Yeah.
It's out there. You know, people want to live forever, and right. You know, I want to live forever. Well,
why?
I think I want to live forever. I'm not sure.
Did you guys watch that show that I told you to watch? The, what is it? The Old Guard. It's on Netflix.
No, I haven't watched it yet.
I don't remember you telling us to do that.
Oh, I said it to the other group. We have another group. You guys aren't part of it. It's cool.
What's it called?
It's called The Old Guard. It's on Netflix. And basically talks about living forever and how, you know, there's certain I'm not going to spoil it, but you know, certain individuals who live forever and now the government has found out and they're being persecuted to find out the secret. Right. And again, the similarities between the supposed conspiracy theories are very similar, and along the lines of art imitates life. Watch this movie and you're going to hear certain terms and you're gonna be like, wait, what? Are they playing on this? I don't know. It's fucking weird. But it talks about, you know, the whole living forever and how you said, Jeremy, that you want to live forever. The movie presents some dilemmas with that whole living forever, right? And I think we know what it is, right? Living forever means that you're going to see everybody else around you die. Everybody else that you love die. You're going to forget the first person you loved died, because if you living thousands of years, are you really going to remember that first person that you know what I'm saying? Like that, those are the dilemmas that present themselves if you have an eternal life. Anyways, let's move on. We're gonna end on a happy note.
Happy notes. Baby lives matter.
Yes, I like that.
Baby lives matter.
Yes.
BLM. Baby lives
in Salt Lake City.
Yeah, go ahead.
Some patriot drove right in front of a Planned Parenthood, right on the side of the road, right in the middle of the median, in the road, in baby blue and pink letters said, "Baby lives matter." That was great.
Yeah,
that was great.
It was beautiful to watch. Yes,
anybody that argues that,
that you'd be surprised. There are a lot of people out there.
The pedos can take them first. So just exactly like your chalk there.
What I wanted to share is that right now, since, you know, there's a lot of this hatred going on for law enforcement, it's a popular thing now, you know, for people to be mean to police officers. There's also a counter movement going against that, where people are now offering to pay for police officers' meals. This is a video that I saw that, and, you know, restores some of the hope for humanity. And it's a feel-good video. And this guy, he offers to pay for this.
They just did it to get views.
Exactly. Exactly, right? Here we go. Look, watch this. So he offers to pay for the police officer's meal. And he said, hey, actually, somebody already paid for it. a good thing.
That's a very common thing. I mean, it's more now, but people have always done that for cops. Like,
oh
my god!
Oh, look, he said it was the third person to ask if he
pay for his meal.
Yeah. I mean, people paying for cops, like, that's always been a thing. When they see them, boom, you know.
Yeah.
What I don't like is when you go into certain places now, they took away the discounts for cops.
Yeah, that's stupid.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I don't understand that discount for everything, right? Like the senior discount and the...
Well, it's like a respect day. You know, I'm okay with it. Dude, if you're not paying the tax, but because you're serving, like...
You're not paying
it's a kind
tax.
Gesture.
It's but the discount is enough to offset the tax.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Right. True, but to take away the discount based on the woke culture of hating cops,
that's stupid.
If you'd be like, hey, my business can't afford this anymore, okay, I get that, but...
Yeah, that's probably the biggest part of it these days.
No, they're all saying we're taking... Well,
you're talking like restaurants, right, offering discounts.
They take away
the
from the fire department.
Are hurting.
Take away the from the fire department. They still get fired. Fire department breaks. Yeah.
Why are they doing
away from cops. That's all they're doing. Like they're specifically saying, oh yeah, we're not honoring cop discounts no more.
Well, that's fine. Then we should just not go to those restaurants anymore and watch them board up their doors.
Hey man, I'm always spending my money in certain places these days, dude. Seriously. Like I don't give a shit anymore. Yeah. I don't care.
All right. I got a few more videos that I want to show you guys. And the first one, it's a funny 4th of July video that Jeremy will definitely like.
Oh, dear Lord, I like it already.
Oh, my God. You look like the 4th of July. It makes me want a hot dog real bad. Oh, my God. You look like the 4th of July. It makes me want a hot dog real bad. Oh, my God.
And what's great about this is it's Jeremy's two favorite Marvel characters.
He's going to love it.
He looked like a
Deadpool
rubbing Captain America.
Deadpool's rubbing Captain America for those big.
So that voice, is that from... What movie is that from? I know it's the mom from
American
Pie.
I forgot the name of the movie, but... I don't know. I don't know who this is. But that's a freaking... Isn't that awesome to watch, man? It's hilarious. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us on this episode of The Salty Show. Find us on all the social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Give us a follow, hit that like button, and share some of the content. And we will catch you all next time. Adios.
Support the police.
Guten Tag.
See ya.